Good morning from the White House in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
This is a solemn but a glorious hour. I only wish that Franklin D. Roosevelt had lived to witness this day. General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe. For this victory, we join in offering our thanks to the providence which has guided and sustained us through the dark days of adversity. Our rejoicing is sobered and subdued by a supreme consciousness of the terrible price we have paid to rid the world of Hitler and his evil band. Let us not forget, my fellow Americans, the sorrow and the heartache which today abide in the homes of so many of our neighbors. Neighbors whose most priceless possession has been rendered as a sacrifice to redeem our liberty. We can repay the debt which we owe to our God, to our dead, and to our children only by work. By ceaseless devotion to the responsibilities which lie ahead of us. If I could give you a single watchword for the coming months, that word is work, work, and more work. We must work to finish the war. Our victory is but half won. The West is free. But the East is still in bondage to the treacherous tyranny of the Japanese. When the last Japanese division has surrendered unconditionally, then only will our fighting job be done. We must work to bind up the wounds of a suffering world, to build an abiding peace, a peace rooted in justice and in law. We can build such a peace only by hard, toilsome, painstaking work, by understanding and working with our allies in peace as we have in war. The job ahead is no less important, no less urgent, no less difficult than the task which now happily is done. I call upon every American to stick to his post. Until the last battle is won. Until that day, let no man abandon his post or slacken his efforts. And now I want to read to you my formal proclamation of this occasion. A proclamation. The Allied armies, through sacrifice and devotion, and with God's help, have wrung from Germany a final and unconditional surrender. The Western world has been freed of the evil forces which for 5 years and longer have imprisoned the bodies and broken the lives of millions upon millions of free-born men. They have violated their churches, destroyed their homes, corrupted their children, and murdered their loved ones. Our armies of liberation have restored freedom to these suffering people, whose spirit and will the oppressors could never enslave. Much remains to be done. The victory won in the West must now be won in the East. The whole world must be cleansed of the evil from which half the world has been free. United, the peace-loving nations have demonstrated in the West that their arms are stronger by far than the might of the dictators or the tyranny of military cliques that once called us salt and weed. The power of our people to defend themselves against all enemies will be proved in the Pacific War as it has been proved in Europe. For the triumph of spirit and of arms which we have won, and for its promise to the peoples everywhere who join us in the love of freedom, It is fitting that we, as a nation, give thanks to Almighty God, who has strengthened us and given us the victory. Now, therefore, I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States of America, do hereby appoint Sunday, May 13, 1945, to be a day of prayer. I call upon the people of the United States, whatever their faith, to unite in offering joyful thanks to God for the victory we have won, and to pray that He will support us to the end of our present struggle and guide us into the ways of peace. I also call upon my countrymen to dedicate this day of prayer to the memory of those who have given their lives to make possible our victory. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States of America to be affixed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States. Now, our national anthem.
Take you now to Washington.
This is Martin Ogrodzki reporting from Washington. You have just heard the President of the United States read the proclamation which announced the unconditional surrender of Germany. The keynote, as the President read that proclamation, was a serious one. In the Oval Room, in the Oval Diplomatic Room in the White House, where he read his broadcast to the world. The President said that what he said had to say was extremely important, and those who all waited there realized it with him. Earlier in his news conference, before the release of the proclamation, the President, in reading over the proclamation to the correspondents present, came to the line in the proclamation which read, "The flags of freedom fly over all of Europe." And it was at that point that President Truman interjected the first note of lightness into the proceedings. He looked up at the correspondents, grinned, and said, "They're celebrating my birthday, too. Today is President Harry Truman's birthday." And that brought a lone voice from the correspondents, one of whom piped up, "Happy birthday, Mr. President." The President read throughout to his press conference before reading the proclamation to the nation in a very serious voice and in a very serious vein. This proclamation, which you have just heard, at one point he emphasized this line, "If I could give you a single watchword for the coming month, that word is work, work, work." And the President meant exactly that. He told newsmen after he had finished reading the proclamation that there will be another proclamation, too, that will inform the Japanese on what they can expect. And at that point, he turned around from the correspondent, looked at Admiral Leahy, who was sitting directly behind him, and his glance included, too, Admiral King, General Marshall, Secretary of War Stimson, and Secretary of the Navy Forrestal. And then the President turned back to the waiting correspondents, and he said this. He said that, "I am informed by the Chiefs of Staff and the Secretaries of War and the Navy that the Japanese are going to have a terrible time from now on." And the President then read these parts of the release on the Japanese. And when he came in the words of the Japanese release to the words unconditional surrender, President Harry Truman emphasized them with a very vigorous nod of his head. Then Mr. Truman turned to talk of San Francisco, turning from the releases that he'd been reading. And he said of San Francisco, "You must remember all the time that we want a piece of justice and law. And that's what we're trying to get in San Francisco." And it was at this point that the president proclaimed May the 13th as a day of prayer. And in proclaiming it, he remarked to the correspondent, and it's a worthwhile comment to remember. He said that it is exceedingly fitting that this day, May 13th, is Mother's Day, too. And that's how the unconditional surrender of Germany was announced. I return you to the Blue Network newsroom in New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the official proclamation of victory in Europe as delivered by President Harry S. Truman. You have heard also from Martin Nagransky, our Washington correspondent. While President Harry S. Truman was telling this country of the proclamation of victory in Europe, Prime Minister Winston Churchill was telling the people of the British Isles about a similar message. We bring you now a transcription of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. London. The Prime Minister, the Right Honorable Winston Churchill.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German High Command, and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied Expeditionary Force and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command. General Beadle Smith, Chief of Staff of the United States Army, and General Francois Tevez signed the document on behalf of the Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force. And General Suslo Paros signed on behalf of the Russian High Command. Today, this agreement will be ratified and confirmed at Berlin, where Air Chief Marshal Cheddar, Deputy Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force, and General de Lattes de Tassigny will sign on behalf of General Eisenhower. General Zhukov will sign on behalf of the Soviet High Command. The German representatives will be Field Marshal Keitel, Chief of the High Command, and the Commander-in-Chief of the German Army, Navy, and Air Forces. Hostilities will end officially at 1 minute after midnight tonight, Tuesday the 8th of May. 1 minute after midnight tonight, Tuesday, the 8th of May. But in the interest of saving lives, the ceasefire began yesterday to be sounded all along the front, and our dear Channel Islands are also to be freed today. The Germans are still in places resisting the Russian troops. But should they continue to do so after midnight, they will, of course, deprive themselves of the protection of the laws of war and will be attacked from all quarters by the Allied troops. It is not surprising that on such long fronts and in the existing disorder of the enemy, the commands of the German High Command should not in every case have been obeyed immediately. This does not, in our opinion, with the best military advice at our disposal, constitute any reason for withholding from the nation the facts communicated to us by General Eisenhower of the unconditional surrender already signed by him, nor should it prevent us from celebrating today and tomorrow, Wednesday, and Victory in Europe Day. Today, perhaps, we shall think mostly of ourselves. Tomorrow, we shall pay a particular tribute to the heroic Russian comrades whose prowess in the field has been wonderful. Grand contribution to the general victory. The German war is therefore at an end. After years of intense preparation, Germany hurled herself on Poland at the beginning of September 1939. And in furtherance of our guarantee to Poland, and in common with the French Republic, Great Britain, the British Empire, the Commonwealth of Nations, declared war upon this foul aggression. After gallant France had been struck down, we from this island and from our United Empire maintained the struggle single-handed for a whole year, until we were joined by the military might of Soviet Russia, and later by the overwhelming power and resources of the United States of America. Finally, almost the whole world was combined against these who are now prostrate before us. Our gratitude to all our splendid allies, those forced from all our hearts in this island, and throughout the British Empire. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. But let us not forget for a moment the toils and efforts that lie ahead. Japan, with all her treachery and greed, remains unsubdued. The injuries she has inflicted upon Great Britain, the United States and other countries, and her detestable cruelties call for justice and retribution. We must now devote all our strength and resources to the completion of our task, both at home and abroad. Advance Britannia! Long live the cause of freedom! God save the king!